Our Father, we are grateful unto you for another moment in your presence. We thank you for how you have started with us. We thank you for all the things you have already accomplished in our midst. Almighty God, we pray that as we open the pages of your word again this morning, you will breathe upon your word and it will make indelible marks upon our lives in Jesus' name. Father, you say the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Father, as I speak, I pray you enwrap them in the power of the Spirit and let it cause mighty touch and divine touch and changes in every era in the name of Jesus Christ. I overthrow every contrary spirit. I bind everything that is not consistent with the truth. And I pray, let everything that is against God, let them be uprooted from our midst in the name of Jesus Christ. Almighty God, glorify your name. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. I welcome us again to the service this morning, and I pray the Lord will increase his blessings upon our lives in Jesus' name. So I will first thank the leadership for another opportunity to share the word of God. Thank you, Sas and Ma. So the title of the message is The Power of Providential Spiritual Insights. The Power of Providential Spiritual Insights. And actually, we'll be studying Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We'll be studying most of the verses of Matthew chapter 2. So like verses 1 to 23. And for the purposes of easy understanding, I've divided it into four sub-points. So the first point is the bane of a costly spiritual blindness. The bane of a costly spiritual blindness. Point two, the benevolence of unusual spiritual guidance. The benevolence of unusual spiritual guidance. Number point three, the benefits of a far-reaching spiritual knowledge. The benefits of a far-reaching spiritual knowledge. And the last point, the building blocks for a continuous, profitable spiritual insight. So let's go to our text. I won't read the long passage because of time. So in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. So for the first point, the key word that we will use is the last sentence. There came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. When Jesus was born, they said, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. To put it in perspective, let's read the same chapter, verse 4. verse 4 now. In verse 4, it says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for there it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So, I want you to juxtapose the two. So what we just read now, there were people already in Israel. And the Bible said they were priests, and they were not just ordinary priests. They were the chief priests and scribes. And these are people that the king normally expected to know about the birth of Jesus Christ. And true to his expectation, when he consulted them, they could bring out the prophecy, and they were correct with the prophecy. So, but I want us to now go back to that verse 1 again. And I hope people will quickly understand. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and then he said, there came wise men from where? From the east. So the point is, the people in Israel did not know when Christ was born. And it's the people that knew that Christ was born, they came from where? No, there's a way they put it now. Okay, they put it in east. Okay, men from east. But the people, number one, you notice, the people that were consulted, they were people that they were prominent in the temple. They were not ordinary men. So they call them chief priests. And the second said they were the scribe. They were like the Bible study leaders. They were versed in the word of God. In fact, they can accurately tell you anything about the Christ. But the point is, but when the Christ came, they didn't know anything about this. Praise the Lord. So, and that's why we title it The Bane of a Costly Spiritual Blindness. And when you look at it, ultimately, it was only three set of people that knew when Jesus came. The first set, it's recorded in Luke chapter 2. They said the shepherds. The second set, they were individual in Luke chapter 2, also verse 25 to 35. They were two individuals, Simeon and Anna. They were just ordinary people. They were not in the category of scribes and the chief priests. And the third category are these wise men. Praise the Lord. And let's look at in verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10. It said, when the wise men had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. You see, what guided them was still available. And it was available in the same location where you find the priest and you find the scribe. But the priest and the scribe know nothing about it. And it's so surprising because at the end of the day, the categories of people that knew
The moment Christ came, they were not the people that would be recognized in the religious circle. Let's go over them again. The first, they are the shepherd in the field. The second, you have Simeon and Anna. And then the third, you have wise men that came from far away. And you understand when the Bible says, so let's look at Romans chapter 2. God is no respecter of any persons. So let's look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 13. Because why would the custodian of the prophecy, the custodian of the truth of the word of God, why would they be bypassed? So let's read it now. He said, okay, let's check verse 12, or maybe it's the next verse. Okay, verse 13, let's start from verse 13. So he said, now watch it. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but who? The doers of the law shall be justified. In verse 14, we'll read it to the end of the verse. Now, follow it very well. And then you understand the workings of the Lord, and you understand the fact that people could be closer physically to God, but they are actually far away from Him. The fact that people are closer does not mean they are actually intimate. And that's what he's explaining. And he's now challenging the reader. He said, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, they are already law unto themselves. The next verse. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. Verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secret of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew and rested in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approveth the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. Okay. An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babe, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth of the law. Now verse 21. Now look at it now. Thou therefore which teacheth another, teacheth thou not thyself? Because it's possible that people are teaching people to be doing the right thing, but they themselves, they are not doing the thing. You understand? So, thou that preachest a man should not steal, though thou steal, in verse 22, thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, though thou commit adultery, thou that abhorrest idols, though thou commit sacrilege, thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? Verse 23. Now, yeah, let's just put this. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. So you can understand. So why would God bypass the chief priests who could accurately tell where Christ would be born? Or why is it that somebody who was such a custodian of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ could not dictate when Christ came? Praise the Lord. So you see, that's why I told you, you can be close to God in this context that we are highly religious, but in reality, you are actually very far away from God. So that's the first thing you observe from that passage, because it was so strange that the people that would tell them that Christ has come, they are people from far away. So number two now, it is possible, and I've said it, to be prominent in the service of God, but you are oblivious of the moves of God. That's what we have just seen. They were prominent in the service of God, but they cannot dictate the moves of God. And number three, it is possible to even be versed in the written word of God, but be at a loss when it comes to the currently spoken word of God. There's a difference between the two. So these people, as you can see what we read, they were versed with the written word of God. And if that's the only thing you know, you will miss a lot. There is the written word of God. There is the currently spoken word of God. So there are things God is doing currently. So this set of people, highly religious, very versed in the word of God, but they could not dictate the move of God. Praise the Lord. And not to fall into that category, you see, we have read that passage. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. Say, and if you call on the Father, now look at it, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. You see, another one that we'll read later is there was a Colinius, and God left everybody and went to Colinius. Why? He does not respect the persons of anybody. He judgeth everyone according to their work. So he advised us, pass the time of your sojourning with fear. Let's look at the one of Colinius in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Now, it was a powerful revelation to Peter, because he thought, because we are religious, we are the only one that should know God or know the moves of God. But God surprised him. He said, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no what? Respecter of persons. I am doing religious service. Wonderful. I am doing this, I am doing that. But ultimately now in verse 35, but you see, he now said, after God helped him to understand, so he was now releasing this, in every nation, but in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is what? Accepted of him. But even within his temple, if he does not find the expected people fearing him and walking righteousness, what will he do? He bypasses them. Praise the Lord. So that's what we see in that passage. So if you read it again, let's read it again, because it's like studying the Bible. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, that you can put in perspective why we just took that aspect. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. You see, when Jesus was born, there came wise men from the east. The second one that I told us, when Jesus was born, Luke chapter 2, verse 1, the angels appeared unto shepherds in the field. But there were priests in the temple. So you know those priests, they are priests with question mark. And then when Jesus was born in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, as they came into the temple, Anna recognized that this is the Messiah. Simeon recognized that this is the Messiah. But none of the priests said anything. Praise the Lord. So let's go to the second point now, to expatiate on the wise men. So the benevolence of unusual spiritual guidance. So let's read, we've read it, it's verses 1 and 2. So when you look at verse 2, it says, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now, for we have seen his star in the east. From that, their statement, then you understand, because a lot of people have issues about the identity of the wise men. So instead of going to any unnecessary controversy, at least there are people that understand and they can read stars. And when they read it, they can use it to tell of future or destiny of individuals. And the closest identity you can give them is that they were astrologers. People, they said, we know this baby is a king. How did they know? Because they saw a star. But all of you, all of us, we see star every day now. But can you use it to make any conclusion? So that means when they see stars, they can use it to make inferences about individuals. Praise the Lord. But you see, let's look and in verse 11 now. Verse 11. Now he said, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What they saw was very real to them. They were worshiping a baby. If they were not very convinced about the fact that he's a king, would they have worshipped him? No. So that interpretation of the star was too real. And then number two is that to them, they said he was a king. He was a king. Jesus spent 30 years, have you? When he was 30 years, in his 30, was he a king? Was he a king? So that means they saw beyond 30 years. You understand when people can see into more than 30 years of your life. So what they saw was just not ordinary, was very far-reaching and very precise. Because even till today now, if you go to Israel, I'm not sure they believe Jesus was a king. But these are astrologers who saw not just 30 years, but far beyond 30 years. And then I want to now ask the question, because God is against astrology, does that mean astrology is so absolute and penetrative and can see even into the future of Jesus, not just ordinary person. Praise the Lord. So let's look at verse 12 now, because we say we are studying the Bible. So that you don't say, when Jesus was born, God allowed astrologers. So it means, as you also go and construct astrology, in verse 12 says, and being warned of God in a dream. So God was involved. It couldn't have been the expertise of astrology alone that gave them such a precise, far-reaching prophecy. So I hope you understand what we just read. And being warned of God. So God was involved. And why would God be involved? And that's why we titled this session, it was just a benevolent act of God. Has he ever done that before? When you read the genealogy of Jesus Christ, there's no time. You will see an allot there. Am I correct? What did the allot do to be in the lineage of Christ? You will see a Moabite in the lineage. What did the Moabite do to be so honored to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ? If you say she believed, does that mean there's no Israelite that has ever believed? Do you understand? The allot helped them. Does that mean there are no Israelite that has so shown something much more than that? So then you can understand when we say it is the benevolent act of God. So the guidance that they had was just God being graceful unto them. So I will just summarize this section in 3 points. Number one now. So you can understand that there could be the possibility of somebody not in the same geographical region with you, but the person will know even more about you. We have just seen it now. There is the possibility of somebody not physically with you, but can tell you far-reaching information that you yourself, you don't know about yourself. And then number two, there is a possibility that such ability can be vested in anybody, irrespective of their spiritual level. And that's one of the things you should take note. I need to be like 30 years in the Lord before I can see far is a lie. Because if it could happen to them, how much more a faithful person inside? I hope you understand. There is the possibility of you being vested with such an ability, irrespective of your spiritual level. And the last one now, there is the possibility to know your prospect in life, even at a very tender age. And I hope everybody will agree. Is it a possibility? If the baby who have such information, so a 5 years old, a 7 years old. So there is those possibilities. So this miracle that God did for them is a highly desirable thing. And that's part of what we'll pray about today. So let's look now at the benefits. What are the benefits of a far-reaching spiritual knowledge? What are the benefits of a far-reaching spiritual knowledge? Now let's look at verse 3 now. Verse 3 says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. When Herod the king had heard, what did he hear? He heard that there is a new king. So why would somebody be troubled when the prospect of another person is mentioned before him? So you know there's a problem. Praise the Lord. So that's the first thing now. So you see, generally in life, so there are two categories: emerging glory and then established glory. Emerging glory and established glory. And many times, established glory are generally intolerant of emerging glory. And that's what happened now. He was an established king. But they say there is an emerging king. And what happened to him? What happened to him when he had? He was troubled. So you see, you have to understand that about life. You will always have such issues as an emerging glory. And that's one of the reasons why you need guidance. Praise the Lord. So you see, as you look across the Bible, because of time now, you understand. So when you remember Moses, he had the same problem. You remember Joseph, he had the same problem. So if there is no time to read downward. If you see, for example, at a particular time, you see for the wise men, God guided them. Then later, the angel of the Lord appeared to the father of Jesus in the dream and said what? That he should take him. So that's the reason. So the first point now is it protects from territorial wickedness. It protects from territorial wickedness. When you have spiritual guidance, it will protect you. So who are the territorial wickedness? Uncooperating, established glory. And most times, they may likely not cooperate because they feel they are absolute. So that's the first benefit. The second benefit is it protects you from losing your heritage or place in destiny. If you can see beyond your nose, it will protect you from losing your heritage or your place in destiny. Esau never knew that the simple statement by Jacob had far-reaching destiny impact. If he knew, you think he would still collect that cottage? He did not know. I hope you understand. And then look at Uriah. That's another example. I hope everybody remember Uriah. See, he was a faithful soldier. A very faithful soldier. But when he came back and they said, go and meet your wife. To show that, you see, that's what I was telling us. You could be highly committed. That's one thing. He was highly committed, but he never knew that the message was a message of death to delete him. He never knew, but highly committed. So we need to be able to see beyond our nose. And number three, he gives direction, and early lead for proper preparation for life. Praise the Lord. When Jesus was born at a very tender age, did he know? He knew. The early you know, the better for your destiny. And that's why you have to pray and highly desire it this morning. Some people will have studied one course, have you? And after they graduated, then they will now go and do another course. So why did they change and they go and do another course? But if they have an early lead, then those years will have been profitably used. So it's the same thing in life. If you have an opportunity of Joseph and you know where you are going as when you were younger, so you know what to say no to, what to say yes to early in life. I hope everybody understands that. Then the last one now. Okay, the second to the last. It helps to face life with courage and confidence. It helps to face life. Now let's read this passage. I like it. Hebrews 11 verse 13. Hebrews 11 verse 13 and 27. Now let's read. They said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but what? But they could see beyond their nose. But having seen them afar off. So people could say, kill me. Why? Because they are seeing beyond. They can make any sacrifice. They can defy anybody. In fact, so let's look at verse 27 gives a better, terms. Verse 27 now, 11:27. Now, he say, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing the invisible. Why was he able to dare Pharaoh? He was seeing something that nobody was seeing. So in life, there are daring steps some people can take, and people will think they are mad, not knowing that they are seeing invisible. Praise the Lord. I can give you contemporary example, but there's no time. But these are heritage that everybody have access to. And the last one, it's circumventing the unpredictability of life. It helps you to circumvent the unpredictability of life. There's this passage. Yeah, Ecclesiastes, maybe chapter 4, verse 9 or 19, I don't know. The race is not to the swift. Have you? The way he ended it is not good. He said, time and chance happen to them. Chance. Is it chapter 4, verse 19, is it? You can help me check. I think we should read it. You see, when he says it is chance, it makes life, it makes efforts useless. So since it is chance, so why am I disturbing myself? But you know, that's why I use the words, you can circumvent all the unpredictability of life if you can see. You will never be challenged with whether life is predictable or not predictable if you can see. So do you think Joseph had problem with things like that? No. Because he knew that one day, you understand, he will be king. He knew of a surety he will be king. But somebody that doesn't know anything at all is at a loss. Everything is trial by error. In fact, those people get frustrated about life. Praise the Lord. So that's the last one. So let me round up now as we look at the last point. What are now the building blocks for a continuous, profitable, spiritual insight? What are the building blocks for a continuous, profitable, spiritual insight? Honestly, the first point is the mercy of God. Because what did the wise men do? Is it that they prayed? Is it that they fasted? Is there anything unique about them? No. Praise the Lord. So, and that will be one of the major things we pray about this morning. You key into the mercy of God. You plead for the mercy of God to have an experience like the experience of Joseph. If you have it today, you have won the greatest jackpot in life. The naira is falling. Whether it's falling or rising, you have seen where you are going. There are no jobs. You have seen where you are going. My uncle is not helping me. You have seen where you are going. Praise the Lord. So, but number one, we are keen into the mercy of God, the benevolence of God. You hold on to God, hold on to his leg, and be merciful unto me. I want to live a more precise life. And then the second one is to have a thriving relationship with God. It's broad. When I say thriving, it's abstract. Specifically, live a just life. A just life. Praise the Lord. And secondly, it's to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Just when you are holy, when you are righteous, that's when you can say my relationship with God is good. So if you have issues with certain sin, see, you plead again to God to help you, then you know you're on the right track. And you see, we did not read about Anna and Simeon. The Bible said the Holy Spirit directed them. The Holy Spirit told them. They were told. And you remember the chief priest was administering the naming ceremony for Jesus. He's the one that administered it, but he did not know. But there is somebody in the temple that had a thriving relationship with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit told the baby the priest just named is the Messiah. But the priest that gave the name, nothing. So you see, so that we stop playing religion and be factual with God. Number three is fasting and praying. If you read that passage, Luke 2:25, they said Anna was worshiping God every day with what? With fasting and prayer. I won't say you should do it every day, but at least the person that saw, that's what they said she was doing. And then the last one, follow in the footstep of credible models and mentor. That's the last one. Follow in the footstep of credible models and mentor. We have examples. And then you just study their life, and then you do what they are doing. Let's close our eyes so that we can have some time to pray. So this morning, the challenge I brought is for you to leave the situation of those kind of high priests and scribe and come to the level of those that God speaks to. And the question is this: what do you know about your future? What has God revealed unto you? Let's close our eyes as we plead for the mercy of God. Plead for the mercy of God. We have the provision with the Almighty to live a guided life, for the missile of our life to be a guided missile. And then life will not be of struggle or of frustration. So I want you to plead for the mercy of God. Open my eyes, O God. Open my eyes, Almighty God. Oh, give me the experience of Joseph for my life. Give me the experience of Joseph. Open my eyes. So Ecclesiastes Solomon say, life is vain. The only reason why it's vain is because it's full of frustration. But for somebody who knows what will happen in 5 years and what will happen in 10 years, life is beautiful. Life is beautiful. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes in the name of Jesus Christ.
You've come to a point that you cannot be blind in this world. If you are blind, you will suffer. You need help. You need divine instruction. And with the Lord, if you walk, if you have a relationship with the Lord, if your relationship is a thriving one with the Holy Spirit, you do not need to be bothered and be disturbed and be frustrated. Ask the Lord to open your eyes. Ask the Lord to open your eyes. Ask the Lord, grant me grace. Grant me grace. Open my eyes. You don't need to be running up and down, looking for false prophets all about. Seeking false prophets and going all about and moving and seeing, help me. How do I go? What is it? Is this person is the right person for me? If you have the Spirit of the Lord, your future, the Lord will reveal the future. You are speaking the word of God, it will reveal things to come. It will reveal things to come. Decide to walk with the Lord as from now. Decide to walk. Decide and ask the Lord to be merciful to you. You want to walk with Him. Let the Holy Spirit help you. Tell the Holy Spirit, I want to walk. I have a thriving relationship with you as from now. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Open my spiritual eyes that I will not be blind. Lord, take blindness away from me. Take blindness away from me. Remove all veil in my eyes. Give me understanding. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Would you like to rise up on your feet with me? You know the type of life you have been living, and you know that there is nothing you can receive from the Lord the way you are living your life. God cannot reveal anything to you. But you want to take a decision to this morning and say, Father, I come to offer my life to you. I come to surrender my life to you. Lord Jesus, come. Forgive me. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to come into my life. Holy Spirit, I want to have an intimate relationship with you, a thriving relationship with you. This morning, please have mercy upon me. If you are there, just put your right hand upon your chest. The Lord is going to be gracious to you. You can't continue to walk like this. Your life cannot continue to be like this. You need to come back unto the Lord. You are already disturbed. You are already frustrated. You do not know what to do. But the Lord is here to guide you. God bless you. God bless you as you are taking this decision. God bless you, my sister. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. God bless you. Please, as you are doing that, just step to the altar here and come and just give yourself and say, Jesus, I'm giving myself to you. Come out. Just come and give it. Come and give it to see. Just come. The Lord is going to help you. Heaven is identifying you. Just take a step. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't feel shy. Don't feel shy to come out. Come out. Just come to the front here and let the Lord, you know, take over your life. Take your life until your life has a meaning. Your life will have a meaning and, you know, things will be changing your life. Come. You have already decided. Don't say, I will do it quietly. The Lord is going to help you. He's going to help you. Just give you a few seconds. I'm giving you a few seconds before we pray. The Lord is seeing you. When you are seeing, you want to do it. Just because I ask you to come out, you drop your hand. No, it's not that issue. Identify with Jesus this morning. Identify with him and let him take over. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise and thank you very much for the revelation of your mind and of your word. Lord, today in the name of Jesus, you have told us that even in a temple, when people were serving you, because of their lives, because of the way they are serving, you went so far to the east to speak your mind to people. And whereas there are people in your house that are supposed to hear your voice, that are supposed to see, but they were unable to see. This morning, in the name of our Lord Jesus, Father, we ask as many of us that are in this category, Father, be merciful to us. Lord, we plead that in the name of the Lord Jesus, you will not leave us. You will not abandon us. Father, we ask that the power of the Holy Spirit will give unto us direction from you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive a life that we walk with you to have direction in life, that you will give us direction in life. Our eyes of understanding will be enlightened, will be open. You will open our spiritual eyes. We shall not be blind. Heavenly Father, help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us a grace and help to understand your mind in the name of the Lord Jesus. That, Lord, we will walk victoriously. We will walk, Lord, and we'll be able to see beyond even what men are seeing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. This is our prayer this morning. And we receive help even for your servant whom you have used. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, you will grant unto him grace also to walk in this light of the word you have released unto him in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless him also, Lord, increase him more and more. Thank you, Father. We bless you and worship you. Blessed be thy name forevermore. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And those your children that you have touched, but they are unable to come out. Father, we ask that your spirit will not leave them until they develop a closer walk with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed.